8 o'clock. Good morning, Lilith, and welcome finally to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is News Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. And it hasn't been that long, actually. I was here on Friday for a show, but because of all the holidays last week and then the weekend and such, it just feels like a while since I've been in the routine of it. We started this morning with some music by Camille Saint-Saëns. We heard the second movement that comes from his sonata for oboe and piano. That was a recording with Charles Hamann, or Hamann, I'm not entirely certain, on the oboe. And the pianist was Stéphane Lemonin, a pair of Canadian performers. I think that's an absolutely gorgeous piece by Saint-Saëns. We'll come back and hear the concluding movement in a few minutes. Right now, though, it's time to do weather and road reports. Yesterday's low, -0.1, but the high made it up to a very nice 7.6. I don't know about your yard, but in mine, basically all of the snow, except where it's been trodden upon enough to make ice, clumps of ice, pretty well all the rest of it has gone. As of 7 a.m., the temperature was at 5 degrees. It was even warmer, I think 6 degrees when I got up this morning. Environment Canada tells us today cloudy with a 60% chance of showers. Snow level at 900 meters, rising to 1,300 meters this morning. Wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50 near noon, and a high today of 6 degrees. Tonight, cloudy with a 60% chance of showers. Wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50, becoming light before morning, a low tonight of +2. Tomorrow, cloudy, becoming partly cloudy late in the afternoon, and a high of +4. Wednesday, cloudy with a low of 0, a high of +3. Thursday, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, a low of 0 and a high of 6 again. And then Friday, at this point, predicted to have a mixture of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers, a low of +2 and a high of +3. So not lots of sun coming this week, but temperatures staying pretty warm, although it looks like there may be a little precipitation coming along with all of that. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, right now in St. John's, Newfoundland, the temperature is -7 degrees. They have snow. Montreal is mainly sunny and -16, and Toronto -10 and mainly sunny. Iqaluit has drifting snow at -27. Winnipeg -34 and ice crystals. In Saskatoon, it is -31 and mainly clear. Yellowknife mainly clear and very nasty -42, as you might expect. They are the coldest on my list of Canadian cities here. Edmonton -19 and cloudy. Calgary mostly cloudy and -12. In Whitehorse, light snow and -20. Prince George is sitting at an astonishingly warm 0 degrees with light snow. And a little closer to home, Clinton is cloudy and -7. Hope +4 and cloudy. Kamloops has mist at -1. 0 degrees in Pemberton, and in Vancouver, it is mostly cloudy and 6. And not too much on the highways here this morning. Highway 1, fog with limited visibility from Spence's Bridge to 10 kilometers east of Cache Creek. And then that continues on from there all the way over to Kamloops. Highway 40, slippery sections between Lillooet and the Mission Dam, and there's also compact ice on that stretch of Highway 40. Highway 99 South has slippery sections between Lillooet and the Cane Creek Bridge, and Highway 99 North, fog with limited visibility from the Hat Creek Corner to the junction with Highway 97. So, as you might expect with the conditions that the way they are, the roads are in basically pretty good shape. That's all I have to do, weather and roads. Okay. Let's go back to Camille Saint-Saëns. It would have been interesting to hear if Saint-Saëns had written sonatas for woodwind instruments earlier in his life when he was still very much writing as a virtuoso, both a performing virtuoso on the piano, but also writing virtuosic music for other instruments, really giving performers a chance to show off. No, the music that he wrote in these late woodwind sonatas, it does give particularly the woodwind players a chance to show off. But by this time, Saint-Saëns had come to feel that the piano, even though that was his own instrument, that it provided a sound that was just a little too heavy in many chamber music settings. And so in many of his late chamber works, he was actually experimenting with substituting the harp for the piano. I think I played one of those here before. But when he did still write for the piano, he tended to write with much thinner textures than he had before, and his textures were already pretty thin to begin with, and he really limited the amount of virtuoso showcase kind of writing for the pianist. So let's hear the final movement of this sonata for oboe and piano. This is music that comes from, I believe, the last year or just 1 year before he died in 1921. And here we hear once again Charles Hammond on oboe and Stéphane Lemelin on piano. Charles Hammond, a member of the National Arts Centre Orchestra in Ottawa, and Stéphane Lemelin, a Canadian pianist who's been on the scene for many years, and I'm happy to say has performed right here in Lillooet. Well, minor technical mess up there. The second movement decided to play again. I think I can fix that. Here goes the actual third movement. I guess another thing that I could have said about Camille Saint-Saëns' late woodwind sonatas is that they tend to be very compact. In most of his music, even his symphonies and concertos, Saint-Saëns did not generally tend to go on too long. They're certainly not overblown works, but he kept things very concise in these late woodwind sonatas, and I think they're very attractive pieces. Wish they were played a little more often. That was the third movement, Molto Allegro, very fast, from the oboe sonata that, as I said, comes from the last year of Saint-Saëns' life. And that recording featured Charles Hammond, or Hammond, on oboe, with Stéphane Lemelin on the piano. All right, it is, 8:13? Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. Oh, I guess I'll get the schedule. That will help me. No student broadcasters, of course, this week. They will be back next week, but at 3 o'clock it'll be Democracy Now. That's already safely downloaded. And then at 6 o'clock is Science for the People. This week's show is called Science Has a People Problem. And this week they're talking about the people, passions, and personalities that shape the pursuit of science. Host Desiree Schell will sit down with Dr. Morton Myers, distinguished professor of radiology and medicine at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, to talk about his 2012 book, Prize Fight, The Race and the Rivalry to Be the First in Science. And she'll also speak with linguists James Winters and Sean Roberts about their study on the strange and sometimes spurious, I love that word, correlations between linguistic and cultural features. Okay, I don't know what all of that means, I admit, but that is not skeptically speaking, Science for the People tonight at 6 p.m. That radio show comes to us from radio station CJSR at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. Music for the Middle Ages would normally be on at 8 o'clock tonight, and it may be tonight. I cannot say for sure with your hosts, Jim and Aura. I haven't heard from them yet, but tune in at 8 to find out. And I want to remind you also, New Year's Rockin' Eve is taking place tomorrow night here live at Radio Lillooet. That's a long-standing tradition. That'll get underway at 8 o'clock with Wendy, the host of Wendy's Wonderland, and then at 10 o'clock, Lyle LaRochelle, host of the Six Mix, will be in, and one or another of them will be keeping you company right up till and probably a little past midnight. Snooze Button will not be here on Wednesday, but I will on all the other days of this week, and if I can remember to do so, I will be playing Snooze Button encores every day this week, including on Wednesday. All right, we're going to turn now to some music by C.P.E. Bach, Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, the second son of J.S., and I have with me a guest in the studio, my good friend Stephen Johnson, who's been here a few times before. Say hello.
Morning, Jeff.
Oh, let me just fix your volume there a little bit. Try it again.
Good morning, Jeff.
That's better. I think there's something funny with my headphones here. Stephen, did you have something you wanted to say about C.P.E. Bach? We've talked about him a fair bit this morning, a little bit yesterday.
It's a little unfair. He was very influential, but we commonly don't hear his name or his music these days. It's more for the interested listener. And, of course, as a piano teacher, I was interested in his treatise on piano playing. It was the first in which he actively encouraged use of the thumbs, which makes you wonder how on earth people were playing keyboard before.
Exactly.
But my guess is that they were using the thumbs. It was just a dirty little trade secret. So imagine, if you will, playing keyboard without your thumbs. See how long you can keep that up.
And also being told at age, whatever you're starting the keyboard, you can't use your thumbs, you can't use your thumbs, you can't use your thumbs, and then finding out.
From probably, some guru.
Yeah, and then finding out around age 15, 16, oh, maybe, apparently I can use my thumbs. I've been lied to all these years. The book that Stephen referenced by C.P.E. Bach was known as The True Art of Keyboard Playing, something like that. At least that's its, won't even attempt the German name. Just too early in the morning for that and for me. But it was very influential in its time, and it's still read by many piano students, piano teachers, pianists, with a great deal of, there's a great deal of value in it. And certainly anybody who's specializing in music of the Baroque period is well advised to consult it, as there's a lot of valuable information on ornamentation and phrasing and figuration and articulation and all that sort of thing. In C.P.E. Bach's lifetime and soon afterwards, if you had referred to, in casual conversation, you just referred to Bach, people assumed you were talking about Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, whereas if you referred to Die Alte Bach, the old Bach, then you were referring to J.S. And J.S. Bach was known, again, this is in towards the latter part of C.P.E. Bach's life, so we're talking around 1770s, 1780s. At that time, J.S. Bach was thought of as having been a truly great organist, and people knew he composed, but they just didn't value his music the way that it is now. They put a lot more stock in the compositions of C.P.E. Bach. And, I mean, I think of all of Bach's sons who went into composition, C.P.E. was undoubtedly the most talented of the bunch, certainly and probably the most prolific of the bunch. Certainly way more of his music has been recorded than by any of the other sons of Bach. And later composers, Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, they all acknowledged debts to C.P.E. Bach and said that they learned a lot from him. This Bach, C.P.E., wrote lots of concertos for harpsichord. And for many, many years, there were only one or two recordings of one or two of them available. And then sometime in the late 80s or early 90s, a Hungarian harpsichordist named Miklós Spányi set out on a project, curiously with a Swedish recording label, to record all of the harpsichord concertos by Bach. So I thought we'd listen to the second and third movements that come from the concerto in G major. The numbering systems, there are two completely different numbering systems on Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach's concertos, so I can't really say exactly what number this concerto is or give you an idea as to how old or how young C.P.E. Bach was when he wrote it. The thing to listen for in this music is that you will hear elements of the Baroque period that is still very much there. I mean, certainly J.S.'s influence was strong on C.P.E., but also Carl Philipp Emanuel was kind of forging off in his own directions and perhaps to some extent influenced by some of the other composers around the time, although who they are we don't know. But at any rate, when you listen to C.P.E. Bach, you hear some passages that sound like they could come straight out of the Baroque, some passages that sound like they could come out of Haydn, and some passages that are kind of in between. And I think this concerto provides quite a few good examples of that. It's like he had a sort of a foot in each century kind of thing. So we'll hear the second and third movements of the concerto in G major, Miklós Spányi on the harpsichord, and he's playing here with a group called Concerto Armonico, some very small period instrument group of performers, also Hungarian-based. And then there are two artistic directors listed, and I don't know if that means that anybody is specifically conducting. My guess is that either Miklós Spányi is directing from the keyboard, or violinist Peter Zutz, and I apologize for my very bad Hungarian pronunciation, he may be leading from the violin. So here they are with music by C.P.E. Bach. We've been listening to music by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. We heard the second and third movements of his piano concerto, or sorry, harpsichord concerto in the key of G major. That recording featuring Miklós Spányi on the harpsichord, playing with Concerto Armonico, and I believe directing them as well. CPE Bach just kind of goes off in all sorts of directions. You never know what's going to come next, and he'll grab a hold of an idea for four or eight bars and then suddenly drop it. Literally suddenly drop it without bringing it to any kind of conclusion and go on to something else. But that's just part of the style of C.P.E. Bach and part of what many people find intriguing about his music. Okay, it's 8:35, time for some public service announcements. I've only got, three today. No trip to the critter window. It's been offline for several days now, so I don't know if there's a problem with the camera there or quite what, but we'll check back in when it is available again. So let's talk about Looney Skates this afternoon. Yes, it is this afternoon, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. There's a Looney Skate sponsored by Lillooet Contracting. This evening, 6:30 to 7:30, sponsored by PharmaSave. Tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., sponsored by the Lillooet Bag Ladies. Of course, the rec center is closed on January the 1st. And then on the 2nd, Thursday of this week, there is a Looney Skate from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. sponsored by the Bridge River Indian Band, and that evening 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. sponsored by Aspen Planers. Friday 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Fort Barron's Estate Winery, and Friday evening 6:30 to 7:30 sponsored by Dr. Routley. Then on Saturday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., Fort Barron's Estate Winery. And again that evening, 6:30 to 7:30, Aspen Plainers. And that will be it for the Looney Skates for this year. And of course, don't forget two New Year's Eve parties coming up tomorrow night. One at the Lillibunt Memorial Curling Club. That gets underway at 8 p.m. The doors open then. Music starts at 9 p.m. Music featuring Atomic Tractor. And there'll be party favors and appetizers and door prizes and all that stuff. Tickets are $20 each. They're available from Cal Tire, from Rob Jones at Cal Tire, and also available from the Sears/Lillibunt Flower Shop. And that event is a fundraiser to support the Lillibunt Memorial Curling Club. And then the Legion is also having their New Year's Eve celebration tomorrow night, 8 until 1 a.m., live bands, dance music, folk music, comedy, and more. Although I mentioned last week, live, when it says live bands, is in quotation marks, so I'm not really sure what that means. Tickets, $10 per person. They are available at the door, and I think that's all you need to know about that. So that is all we've got for public service announcements. For most of the rest of the hour, we're going to turn to music by Wagner. And yes, Wagner, don't turn off. Don't turn off your. Sorry, we're passing notes here in the studio. Don't turn off your radio just because I said it's music by Wagner. This is something very gentle and very kind-hearted music by Wagner. That's a good way, I suppose, of describing the character of the music itself. This is something I normally play before Christmas because it's kind of Christmassy music. It's the Siegfried Idyll, and the story goes that Wagner wrote this as a birthday present for his wife, second wife, Cosima, who was the son of, or the daughter of Franz Liszt. And Cosima's birthday was December the 24th, but by tradition, she always celebrated it on December the 25th. So Wagner worked very hard to keep this piece a secret from Cosima so she wouldn't find out about it. And various people who were friends of Wagner, he, you know, started calling in musicians. I think he wrote it, Stephen, you were looking this up online. How many musicians was it written for originally? Do you remember?
Oh, 13, I think.
13? I think you're absolutely right. So it was originally written as a chamber piece, and the deal was they were going to be arranged on the stairs of the house that Richard and Cosima were living in, and that's how it worked out for the first performance of it, and it was played to wake Cosima up on Christmas Day. But a few days before that, she was going somewhere in the house and walked into one of the bedrooms. And rather to her, not dismay, but just to her confusion, she found Hans Richter, who was a very well-known conductor of the time and a big exponent of Wagner's works. She found Hans Richter practicing the trumpet in his bedroom. And she kind of wondered what the heck that was all about, because Hans Richter did not need to be practicing the trumpet anymore. He had quite an established career as a conductor. But she just kind of went along with it and didn't ask too many questions. And that was just as well, because Hans Richter had actually said to Wagner, please, sir, can I play in the Siegfried Idyll? I just think it's a funny little story that surrounds it. Anyway, the piece was played for Cosima. She was absolutely delighted with it and wanted to keep the piece as very much something for just her and Richard, but monetary considerations led to Wagner publishing it. Now, as I said, he originally wrote it for a small band of 13 instrumentalists. However, it was quickly taken up by orchestras once it was published, and I don't know if that was with Wagner's approval or not. But that's the way it, for most of the 20th century, was most often heard. And then more recently, performing ensembles prefer to play this as in its original chamber scoring. But we're going to hear an orchestral version of it, one of my all-time favorites, because I just think it has such a warm spirit to it. This is a recording with the Columbia Symphony Orchestra. The conductor is Bruno Walter, and there are some themes that are used also in the opera Siegfried here, but for the most part, this is an original composition on Wagner's part. And Wagner, who wasn't the nicest of men, well, gotta say, I think he did right by Cosima on this case. I just hope she appreciated it.
Yeah.
Music by Richard Wagner there. We've been listening to the Siegfried Idyll, music that he wrote as a Christmas present, or a Christmas and birthday present to his wife Cosima Wagner, and also celebrating their son Siegfried. That was a recording with the Columbia Symphony Orchestra conducted by Bruno Walter. That's one of the most human kind of pieces of music that Wagner ever wrote, and over a long span of time, 18 minutes, one of the most gentle-spirited, I think, as well. All right, it's 8:59. We're going to sneak in an encore since nobody's raring to get on the air immediately afterwards. And for those of you who hate Wagner, you will be glad to hear that we are turning to Gershwin. In fact, this whole show could have been called Four Composers Who Probably Wouldn't Want to Share a Radio Show with Each Other. Saint-Saëns, C.P.E. Bach, Richard Wagner, and George Gershwin. Actually, I think Saint-Saëns would have had a great deal of appreciation for C.P.E. Bach. I don't know about the other way, but I think the rest of these guys don't get along all that well. So we will listen to The Promenade by Gershwin. This is a piece also known as Walking the Dog. It was film music that was used, can't remember the name of the film, but I believe it was an Astaire and Rogers film. Something makes me think I may have played this fairly recently, but I'm playing it again anyway. And it was involved a scene with somebody walking a dog on board a passenger liner, I guess making a crossing of the Atlantic. So, a recording here with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, conductor Leonard Slatkin, and we hear George Silfies, whose name I may or may not be pronouncing correctly. It's not Selfies, it's Silfies, I think. He is playing the solo clarinet part here. Music by George Gershwin there. We heard a lovely little fun piece there, The Promenade, also known as Walking the Dog, which sounds like a euphemism for something else. St. Louis Symphony Orchestra there, conducted by Leonard Slatkin with George Silfies on the solo clarinet. And that is going to be it for today's edition of Snooze Button. But if you missed the weather at the top of the show, let me give you a quick recap here. I'll just do a refresh on this page to get the latest info, or the 8 a.m. info at any rate. Okay, as of 8 a.m., temperature still sitting at 5 degrees. Environment Canada tells us today cloudy, a 60% chance of showers, snow level 900 meters, rising to 1,300 meters this morning, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50 near noon, and a high today of 6. Tonight, cloudy with a 60% chance of showers, wind from the south at 30, gusting to 50, becoming light before morning, and a low of plus 2. And then tomorrow, cloudy, becoming partly cloudy late in the afternoon, and a high of plus 4. And looking ahead in the week, it looks like we do have daytime plus temperatures pretty well throughout the week. At least that is what is predicted for now. Okay, that's going to be it for the show. But I will say thank you very much for listening. I also want to say thanks to my friend Stephen for coming in and joining me.
Thank you.
All right, and I will leave you with the folk world reggae playlist, which I apparently cannot say.